Let me be the second to welcome you and welcome to those that are online. I hope everybody had a good week. Mr. Cook did say something about the cooler weather. Granted, I am a transplant, but I don't like the hot. I like the cool. And this time of year, they call it fall because we know it will get warm again. But, you know, it's that time of year where it will start getting cooler and cooler. The days are getting shorter. I remember, a few weeks ago that wake up at 5:30 and was almost seemed like it was noon. Now sun's not rising until a little after 6:30. Well, we'll go ahead and get started into this. Let me just get my stopwatch here so, you know, we're not here till midnight or something crazy like that. It does happen. Question. If I ask you, what is freedom? What would your answer be? There's many different answers. I'm going to quote what freedom is according to Wikipedia. And don't get me wrong, I would never quote Wikipedia as a site on a formal paper or anything like that because it's sourced from individuals and perhaps some of it's very accurate, but however, I think a lot of it is inaccurate. So it's a lot of opinion on there. That's back to, we'll just not get into that. So according to Wikipedia.com, freedom is the power or right to speak, act, and changes as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Freedom is often associated with liberty, autonomy, in the sense of giving oneself one's own law. Interesting. So let's go to dictionary.com. Freedom, the power or right to act, speak, think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Similar. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. 3, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. I think we can agree with a lot of that. Some of it's, you know, kind of the modern times are being interjected into the, you know, freedom is doing whatever you want without consequence. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I don't think probably many of you would either. Let me ask a second question. What is Christian freedom? So, let's see what secular society thinks, or the world, or mainstream Christianity, as it were. GotQuestions.com. Christian freedom involves living not under the burdensome obligation of the law, but under God's grace. Those that have been around for a while, that probably doesn't sound right. So I also posed the question into Google AI. Again, AI is trained from many different sources, and you always have to be careful with AI. We have it at work. It gives you mostly correct answers, and then one part that's incorrect, and everything, it deceives in a way. Or it gives you inaccurate information. So according to Google AI, Christian freedom is the liberation from the guilt, power, and penalty of sin through Jesus Christ, enabling believers to live a life of joyful, willing obedience to God rather than a life of slavish fear or license to sin. It is also the freedom from the curse of the old covenant and the desire to earn righteousness through human effort, allowing one to be free to serve others. It's mostly right, but there's a couple of things that you might have caught that may not be accurate there. So in this sermonette, we are going to briefly explore this concept of Christian freedom or liberty, as written, through the lens of the book of Galatians and the cultural context of the first century Roman Empire. We will investigate God's word to define what true Christian freedom or liberty is. Couple ground rules here, or just kind of outliers. This sermonette is not specifically about the elements of grace, the law, or justification. The intent is to provide context about the issues that arose in the early church that Paul discusses in his arguments to address these issues using the examples of early Christian would be found to understand, using the wording that early Christians would understand. So let's fast forward to the future. When reading these words, we need to ensure we are not inserting modern societal context into these early writings. If we understand the context, we'll have a clear understanding of what Paul was really trying to say. A little bit of background. As alluded to earlier, many Christians insert their views into the writings of Paul to support their arguments, whether they be right or wrong. So in other words, I think it's a human nature. Us all, I believe this, so I see this in the Bible, and I'm going to make it read this because I want it to. Not being critical and objective is saying, what does the Bible actually say? We see examples of this when people quote the book of Galatians as proof that we are under grace and we can do what's right in our eyes since we are no longer under the law. This idea, as we'll see, we can live as we please, was a completely foreign, not even a thought of concept in the early church, in the early Roman Empire. And we'll get into that a little bit earlier. Those people, including the disciples and including the apostles, would have no concept of, I can do whatever I want. It just didn't exist. It was foreign. It wasn't even a thought. Some branches of Christianity are antinomian. That is, that they teach Christians are no obligations to obey the law of God, so they have interpreted Galatians as saying that keeping the law of Moses would earn salvation. That was the belief. And we know that keeping the law does not earn salvation. It absolutely does not. However, they equate being law-abiding, in other words, one's a Christian's obligation to, to keep the laws of God as part of that, and then they reject the whole premise altogether and say the law has been done away with and we're not expected to keep it. So, as we get into this, let's examine very briefly the three top elements of Christian Roman society and what was considered to be a Roman and what were the places of the people within the Roman society. What was their place? Or as the British would like to say, what is your station in life? So, in the Roman Empire, there was three distinct classes of people or caste, and there's subcaste, and we could spend hours and hours going through that, but we're just going to go through the top three. The first caste or class of a person within the Roman Empire was a Roman citizen. This class had legal rights. They could vote. They could run for office. And it was really difficult to become a Roman citizen unless you were born into it by both parents, or at least your father was a Roman citizen that married a foreign woman. Or, this wasn't very common, but there are examples of it, or a freed slave by a Roman citizen. However, this citizenship still had limited rights. Another way an individual can obtain Roman citizenship is 25 years of Roman military service. How many you think really made it to the 25 years? We know a few of them did through the history books and what have you. Most people within the Roman Empire fell into this category, free non-citizens. They weren't slaves, however, they had no benefits of Roman citizenship, such as holding office, voting, or legal protections of Rome. So if somebody wronged you, especially if it was a Roman citizen, you were in a bad way. There was nothing you could really do about it. Then the third category is slaves. These people were owned by citizens or others, and their destinies were at the bequest of their benefactors. So if you had for lack of a better term, I know it's not politically correct, but you had a owner that was really cruel to you, life probably was really bad. If you had a benefactor or an owner that was fair-minded and level-headed and treated all people equally, life was probably pretty good and you probably didn't mind being a slave. And actually, there were instances that are recorded that these people, when given freedom, a choice between freedom or continuing in what they were in, they would continue what they were in. We can see examples of this in Acts 22, 25 through 28. Acts 22, 25 through 28. Starting in verse 25, breaking in the story, as they bound him in throngs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Then the centurion heard that, and he went to his commander and said, "Hey, we got a problem here, my injection. Take care of what you do, for this man is a Roman citizen." Then the commander came to him and said, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" And Paul said, "Yes." The commander answered, starting verse 28, With a large sum, I had obtained this citizenship." So he was probably in the military, and he probably paid somebody off to get his citizenship. Then Paul responds, "But I was born a citizen." So it was kind of a higher class, but Paul was saying, he was not bragging or anything like that. It was just saying, you kind of know your place. So, the first century believers lived in a class and caste-oriented societies, and these people were defined by which group they belonged to. Romans were highly regarded, slaves were at the bottom, and free citizens were somewhere in the middle. Depending on which group someone was born into, that was their lot in life. In Galatians, Paul is telling Christians to live free from societal's bigger distractions. So in other words, when we start talking about being free in Galatians, what Paul is saying is, we have this world here, and it's wrong. And when you come into the family of God, God calls you into His kingdom to become part of His church and to future rulers, chief and priests and kings and what have you, that are just being part of the family of God. There is no separation between male, female, citizen, non-Roman, Greek, Jew. We're all the same in God's eyes. Make sure my page isn't sticking. So, for scriptural reference, I'll read to you Galatians 3, 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave or free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Jesus Christ." So when Christ is talking about, or when Paul is talking about being free, when God calls you, we're all the same. Paul's not representing this freedom as a release from God's law. God's law defines sin, and we are expected to avoid sin. Paul does point out that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil present age. Galatians 1:4. Jesus frees us from the condemnation that we bring on ourselves by participating in the evils of this present society, not from the authority of God's law. Turn with me to Romans 8, 3, and we'll read 3 through 4. Romans 8, 3 through 4. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 8. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did through by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, and the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So what he was saying is, we all sin. We pay the penalty. And what is the penalty of sin? Death. Christ came to intercede to pay that penalty. God being came to this world and became human flesh and took on a human form and paid that penalty. He never sinned. So he became our interceder. He paid the death penalty for us. And we are to live as grateful beings, obviously. And as God calls each and every one of us, we are to live according to how he wants us to live. And that includes keeping the commandments of God. Keeping the commandments is not salvation in any shape or form. However, it's a requirement. As in the Romans, if you are a freed person in the Roman society, somebody freed you, you had an obligation. And if you went back on that obligation, it probably didn't work out well in the end. As we as Christians, if we don't keep our obligation, our promise to God, if each and every one of us are here saying, you know, we took that step, I want to repent, I want to become baptized, I want the laying of hands, I accept God, you in my life, I accept Jesus, my elder brother, to intercede on my behalf, I accept the Holy Spirit, and if we walk away from that, we know what the ending is. And we are required by God to follow each and every one of his ways. But just not only the physical, but behind the spiritual intent, the best we can. And we will fail in certain aspects, but that's what Jesus Christ does, is intervene on our behalf, knowing that we are sinful beings. So many view that Galatians is telling Christians they are free from the law. That's not the case. He is telling us that we are free from the condemnation of the law through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. God's Spirit within us aids us in keeping the law behind as much as possible with the spiritual intent. The driver in Paul, the reason that Paul wrote the book of Galatians, because there was this attitude that, let's call it legalism, kind of a nasty word, especially in the Christian society, that there was many starting to teach that, hey, you want salvation, you have to keep the law, and keeping the law will give you salvation. And Paul is hitting this dead on, saying, no, this is not the case. The law, keeping the law is not salvation, it's Jesus Christ. And he goes in great detail through the book of Galatians, which we don't have time to go through, explaining this, making it very clear. And we know this is the case because John, the Apostle John, writes in John 14:15, if we love God, we will keep his commandments. If you love Jesus Christ, you will keep his commandments. So summarizing it, when Paul spoke of freedom, he was referring to no distinction between peoples within God's family. Freedom from the condemnation of sin, that is the penalty of sin, through Jesus Christ upon true repentance. The law does not provide salvation. It is through Jesus we have salvation. If we are in Christ and love God, we are expected to follow his law and as much as we can. Is it a license to sin? Certainly not.